Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about atheism. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Yael, please. So, this word originally comes from ancient Greek. The meaning of it was lack of God, ateus, that at first was used as a pejorative for those that are immoral and lack respect for the gods. Later on, it became a name for people that cut off their relations with the gods. They actually reject any relations with the gods. And only at the end of the 18th century, it took on the form that we know. Till then, it was a kind of a derogatory name. At the end of the 18th century, it described the phenomenon of people that don't believe in one God. And in the 20th century, it became a general name for people that do not believe in divine providence. So, there are the atheists that don't believe in divine providence, and all the rest that do. A few numbers from the International Gallup Research Institute. It shows that the population of the world is becoming less religious and more atheistic. 60%, 59% are religious, 23% are not religious, 13% that consider themselves to be atheists. The leading countries in atheism are China, Japan, the Czech Republic, and France. So we see that there's a certain trend here, meaning that if long ago humanity was drawn more toward believing in one divine force, over time, this tendency is changing, and more people are becoming atheists. Still, it's not the majority of the population of the world, but this is the direction. How do you explain this trend or tendency? What used to draw people to the upper force in the past, and what draws more and more people nowadays to disbelief in some kind of a divine force? There are several reasons for it. I wouldn't say that atheism is the lack of faith. It's also believing in something. Even believing that there is no upper force is a kind of faith, because no one can say clearly, scientifically, whether there is or isn't a divine force. And therefore, there's no point in relating to it, because unless it was researched scientifically, then the only thing that could be about it is a social consensus. Exists or doesn't exist, or a group of people. And there are different groups that agree to believe in their inclinations according to their character, according to previous beliefs that pass on from one generation to the next. But you can't talk about it scientifically, because no one can say, is there or isn't there? Is there or isn't there divine providence? Yeah. I have to bring proof, clear proof, that we discover some kind of providence or God or multiple gods. The fact that I don't reveal this phenomenon doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, because there are many phenomena in nature that we didn't discover and later on we did. And who knows what am I going to discover tomorrow? If I didn't discover the upper force, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. This is also a part of the definition of atheism. I simply don't want to go deeper into the matter on this show. This is a very serious matter. And this is something that we're not talking about scientifically at all. But it's according to what I feel, how I feel, to what my grandparents told me. A person is inclined towards it. He can believe or not believe. Of course, it also depends on how confident a person feels himself, that all in all, we exist within the forces of nature, and we have no idea what's going to happen the next moment, and therefore, we have to find some kind of insurance for ourselves, something that can secure our future. On the one hand, on the other hand, we know that a person is all the time in doubt. What's doubtful today can be a certainty tomorrow, and vice versa, that people are very unstable creatures. Not because we're unstable by nature, but because nature is much more diverse, much richer, and we really can't identify all the phenomena around us. And, of course, humanity detected these problems a long time ago and has decided that it's easier if we do believe. And if I see a person that believes in something, regardless in what, we see that he's more confident, happier, that person fulfills his life with different actions towards that God of his. He has what to pass on to his parents, his children. They can build different ceremonies around it that can give them a sense of confidence. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not, but it really contributes to the stability of a society. And therefore, I see that it's worthwhile doing. And therefore, I'm saying that here you have a consensus, social consent, that, yeah, this is what we do. And we see that also in ancient times, and also in the times when Yehuda Levi wrote the Kuzari, people looked for some kind of a religion to give to the people in order to govern the people more correctly, to calm them down, give them some kind of a social characteristic and so on. And also in our times, we see that countries that were less religious are becoming more religious, and also vice versa, and also all the religious wars, the crusaders, how they brought Christianity to different countries, and those that didn't want to accept it, they accepted it forcefully, and then they became even more pious about it than the original crusaders and so on, like in Poland and other countries. Yeah, it's one of the only countries that is more inclined towards religion than before. Yeah, but they weren't Christian. They became Christians not long ago. And today, how pious they are, Catholics, and so on and so on. We see that there's still an unclear direction about it in humanity, and humanity needs it. Because even in our times, where we're as if so developed, our future is becoming more and more volatile. And therefore, religion is not leaving the stage like we thought 100 years ago. 100 and 115 years ago, we thought that that's it. Religion in a few years, and I, as I grew up in the former USSR, of course, I got anti-religious education, radical anti-religious education, and everyone thought that this thing is passé, The last grandmas passed away, and, you know, there are no believers left. But no, we see that today, after 50, 60, 70 years, we see that not the grandmothers, but their granddaughters go to church, keep different ceremonies and so on. Meaning this thing doesn't disappear. It comes back in waves, and it's all because we do not know nature. This is actually what it's about. Were we to know nature as a whole, we'd discover the upper force, then we'd have no doubt. Does it or doesn't it exist, for example? And what do we have to do then? Therefore, in order to reach a decision, theism or atheism, for this we need some kind of a tool that will help us disclose the entire system of nature and see, is there providence, an upper force, upper governance, a plan of creation? Does this plan apply to humanity or doesn't it? In short, we have to understand the entire system of nature. Before we get into this, still, today, as uncertainty is on the rise in all aspects, a person really feels, like you said before, that is volatile. He has no idea what's going to happen from one day to the next. How is it that atheism goes and grows nowadays? I understand that if a person wants to feel a sense of confidence within this uncertainty, he'd look for some kind of a religion or something. I don't think that it's growing. I think that eventually people, they do believe. And when can you see it? When they feel bad, when they really feel uncertainty, they're willing to believe. They're willing to pay for a safer tomorrow. The problem is that people are very lazy. They don't want to participate in ceremonies. They don't see the connection between the ceremonies and believing in an upper force. Today there is a very simple solution. Today you can be secular, which doesn't necessitate you to take part in all of these ceremonies. But you believe that there's an upper force. You believe in something. Atheists are those that declare that, regardless of the ceremonies, they don't believe that there is something that governs reality. So, again, it depends on the level of circumstances that a person's in. If he is in a stormy sea, in a small boat, or he's being shown an x-ray that, God forbid, something's happening inside of him, and so on. So let's see then, is he more inclined towards some kind of faith or belief, searching what to hold on to, something that can help him, or not? We see that people then run to doctors, and then to naturopathic doctors, and homeopathic doctors, and then to different grannies that offer cure through waves, or cards, or who knows what. We see that a person that's pressured this way, he's ready for anything. And therefore, from what degree of fear do we decide whether a person's an atheist or a theist? So you're saying that there's no such thing fundamentally. It's just applying a bit more pressure to that person, and immediately he's looking what to hang on to because he's on this small raft in a stormy sea. There is an attitude that says that it's a developmental stage, that the more developed person is, the less he feels dependent on some big father that can take care of him, and he actually takes care of himself. He says, I am responsible for my life. There's no divine force or God or anyone that's responsible for me. And people consider it as a more developed phase than believing in some providence. I don't think that these are non-believers, but this is someone who believes in his opinion. Can you explain? Because if I say that in any case there's no God, then I believe in there being no God. I believe in my opinion. What's important is my opinion and not whether there is or isn't. That's it, because I have no proof in favor or against, but this is what I decide, and even though that I'm going to die, so what? There were those that were burned for it. It's not that by that they prove that there's no God. You can't prove that there's no God. By no means can man prove that. You see, we're doing this, where's God? We're doing that, where's God? This isn't proof. We don't understand the system. We don't understand the plan of creation and all these relations between us and the upper force. This is something that we don't understand, but this isn't proof. Atheism on the scale of human development, where is it? I think that atheism always existed. And therefore, it also comes from ancient Greece. And Rome and Greece. And also, many nations were relatively atheists. If I bow to a thunder, then I don't know whether it has to do with my faith or not. I simply see that there are the forces of nature, and that I'm afraid of being harmed by them. So this attitude towards that force, a volcano, will it or won't it explode? Especially it's about natural phenomena. So what can I do for it not to happen to me? And here, where I don't exactly know how to influence a certain phenomenon, then I develop kind of attitude, prayer, faith. Maybe I have to bring some kind of sacrifice, and it's natural. It's natural for a person to do so. There were such studies conducted on children that had nothing to do with any kind of religion. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, doesn't matter. Not pertaining to any religion. They say that if they take a small coin and throw it into the bushes or someplace, it gives them luck. Meaning a person's always searching for something to hold on to. Yeah. A person wants to be connected with the hidden force of nature and is searching for contact with it and he doesn't know how. So it's like I'm throwing it into the bushes or something. It's as if I gave something to it and now it will treat me more favorably. Little children do that, and no one taught them anything of the kind. About atheism, there are several researches that show that the higher the standard of living, the more atheistic people are. At older age, people are more inclined to have faith than when they're young. 43% of the elder people are sure that there is a God from the age of 70 and on, more or less, and 23% of the young people believe that there's a God. Educated people are more atheistic than uneducated people, and richer people are more atheistic than poor people. How do you explain this? Very simple. The older I am, the less power I have, the less strength I have. The poorer I am, the less power I have, and therefore I tend to believe. Still, I want for the world to be arranged correctly, for there to be justice, and therefore I tend to believe that there is eventually some kind of justice in the world, and eventually everything will fall into place. What is the purpose of atheism in the world? Where does it come from? Atheism, again, it comes as a result of people not being able to accept an attitude towards someone, towards something, without proof. And there is no proof that there is an upper force. We went through many years in which it was possible to burn a person, hang him for saying that I'm not a believer. But he's supposed to believe based on what? Because other people have reached this kind of consensus. Based on what? So suppose I take a certain group of people, and there are many such groups around the world, and I brainwash them, and they start believing, and I don't know what, that this cup rotates somewhere out there. I don't know, whatever. The main thing is to bring a large audience to this consensus. And then we determine that this is what's true, that this is how we have to raise our children, how to educate them. And gradually there's literature about it and other things. And then suddenly there's a prophet or someone who says that he had a dream about it, or someone else that saw it with his own eyes. And then in time we see that there's as if an entire science about the upper force and its role and behavior and so on. And how do you know? No one knows. No one. Is it possible to know? You need a science, a special science for it, that we'll talk about it. It's the wisdom of Kabbalah that reveals godliness, that discloses the upper force to a person. It doesn't believe, but it reveals. This is why it's called the wisdom of Kabbalah. It has nothing to do with faith or belief as common folk perceive it, where I close my eyes and I believe that this is how it is. In true Judaism, it's not blind faith, but it's about revelation. As it says, know the Creator thy God and serve him. Or as it says, repent, O people of Israel, to the Creator thy God. Meaning to reveal him, that's the preliminary commandment. This is something that we'll elaborate on a separate show. What I want to ask is, how does atheism advance us towards love another as thyself, love thy fellow man? How does it develop us towards the purpose of humanity that you're talking about on our shows? It's not advancing us at all. I don't see anything about it. All in all, atheists and theists, they're controlled by the very same ego, and they feel good that way. They divide human society into different parts, and they know how to get along and how to coexist in a good and nice way. What's the difference with respect to a person's inner structure between a person who is an atheist and someone who is a theist? An atheist believes only in what he sees, the forces of nature. Believes, it's still faith. And he doesn't want to feel that he depends on some upper plan. And this is how he lives. He has no one to turn to, no one to pray to. He doesn't expect anything to come from above, meaning from something that's superior to him. And theist is the very opposite. He's a believer. He does relate himself to the upper force, and he has to behave correspondingly in accordance with the upper force, for the upper force to treat him favorably in a good and benevolent way in this world, the next world. We also learn about it from the Book of Zohar. And you can see it anywhere. What makes one person be one way and the other another way? First of all, education. It's very important because education builds a person. And besides, an inner inclination in a person. There are people that have to attain their destiny, the meaning of life, the upper force, the purpose of life. And they come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. There were very few of those in each and every generation, and now in our generation, there are more. And there are people that don't have that, but they're weak on the inside. They feel a need for it, like some kind of facts. And therefore, it's easy for them to relate themselves to some kind of a spiritual movement, where they get a sense of confidence. Their children are studying in the right framework. The family follows the rules of that group. And then they feel more organized, more complete and whole. They feel safer. And the environment gives them the satisfaction, the greatness and importance of the path they're on. Can an atheist be spiritual? Of course. I don't know what you mean by spiritual. This is a new word. But in the meantime, yes. Last question. When you're looking at the future development of humanity, do you see these two populations, the atheists and the believers, as two movements that will collide or they'll live in peace together? I hope there won't be any collision, but these and those will have to reveal the upper force. The atheists will have to reveal it as the upper force of nature, and the theists, the believers, will have to see it nonetheless as an existing fact. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. It was really interesting. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.